Can you hear? Are we clear? Clear for liftoff. Take off. For making reverberations. Are we affirmative? No negatory. Come in, come in. Radio, what's your story? Ayahuasca kilo. Will you welcome? Are you ready for a better Beko Victor? Feeling wider than awake. Yeah.
Kia ora, welcome to Faith Matters. It's good to have you join me today, but it's not just me in the studio. I've got Pastor Roger Peart joining us today. It's going to be an interesting show, so we're going to play a couple of songs and we're going to get into some really interesting God chats, I think.
Thank you. feel the blood rushing through my veins. I'm ready for change. They keep telling me to stay in my lane, but it's screaming my name. My heart is racing, the elements we're facing got us pushing through the night. I feel the pressure, but when we come together, we'll journey through the morning light. It's our destiny, no separating us, cause we're family. Beautiful together, I do believe we can do anything in His name. Earth suit ties so deep and wide. There's coming a day, we gonna rise up. We won't give up the fight. It's our destiny, no separating us, cause we're family. Beautiful together, I do believe we can do anything. It is me. Forever together, never severed, so much deeper than the skin we're in. Our creed, our culture, even our names fall straight into the shadows of the depths of how we relate. A body, a family, different parts but one and the same. Spiritual shame, it cannot clinch us, cause the love we have is different. You can say what you say, but nothing can stand in the way of the rising on the horizon. Open your eyes to a new day.
I don't know if you're tired of the replay play. Sometimes I can get tired of the replay, but today we've got some fresh stuff happening in the studio with Pastor Roger. And I know Pastor for many years now, so I start off the show by calling him Pastor, but I'll probably just call him Roger as we go through. So I've got some questions around church life and what's it like to be a pastor, and especially a pastor in our community for so many years. So welcome, Roger. I better put you on. There we go.
Oh, kia ora. Kia ora, okay. Marie. Yeah,
sorry about that. It's great to have you in the studio with me. I've had Pastor Roger in here before, but today we're going to ask some different questions around, I guess Christianity, knowing God and Jesus. And you've walked in this faith journey for a long time now, Roger.
Yeah, just a few years, yeah. It's been good.
So you say a few years. I came into church, I'm thinking maybe 24 years ago now. It's been a massive journey for me, discovering life again after coming from many traumatic situations in my background. And so, yeah, I've known Roger and Cheryl in a capacity probably a little bit outside of the church to begin with, and I might talk into that a little bit. But I have a question for you.
Okay.
So what's it like being a pastor? And I know that's a broad question, but I guess, you know, your family has a long history here. You have a long farming history, but your dad was also involved in the church.
Yeah, he was, yeah. Your question, what's it like being a pastor here? It's just an absolute privilege, actually, to be leading, the Surfside Church, and we've got so many awesome people there. And more than that, it's just being a part of the community here, having a role in the community, because yeah, I love Raglan. It's a beautiful place. There's a lot of interesting people live here. There's a real mixture of people. The community is changing all the time, I guess. But it's just such a privilege, really, to live in a place like this, and then to be a pastor in a place like this, where you can actually have hopefully some positive influence and just help encourage people to, we've got God's creation all around us, but to recognize a little more of the Creator in our lives and in this place. And I just love it, actually. It's really, really awesome.
So tell me a little bit about what did you have to do to become a pastor?
Well, I was on the church leadership team, going back 25, 30 years, a long time now. and for quite a long, we were a small group, really. And for a long time, we didn't actually have an official pastor, which was fine. I mean, we worked as a team. And I guess that has continued. I think a team aspect on anything, it doesn't matter whether you're a business or whether you're a community group, whether you're a church, I think having people around you that are like-minded and you can work together with others. So that's where we started. We started with a team, and that was cool. But after a few years, we realized we didn't have anybody that could actually legally marry people, for example, and even taking funerals and things. Anyone can actually take a funeral, but I think most people like to have someone who's got some official capacity. After a few years, I was already really leading the team, and so it was just sort of a natural step to become the official pastor. I did go through a process of some training and, had a supervisor and a few things like that. I had to do a little bit of learning and research and study. But really it was more recognizing the fact that I was already in the role. So that's how I got started, just by simply being on the team.
And I guess, when you first started pastoring up into, present day, there would have been, shifts for you and growth for you as in your spiritual walk with God and learning about Him. That would have been part of the development too, as just like our community grows, we grow too, I guess.
Yeah, I think we're all learning and growing as we go through life. With relationships and friendships, and that includes with each other as well as with God. It was quite a shift for me. I guess I was probably a little bit reserved naturally. I wasn't really looking for an upfront type role, but it just sort of landed there, really. It was almost like God wanted me there, and the way opened up, and I sort of embraced it, but a little bit reluctantly to start with, because when you step into a leadership role in anything, there's a wee bit of a shift. Like people that perhaps were your peers before, then you start to learn people in your family and so on. It was a bit of a tricky transition, and I had to learn. I had to grow through that. And because if you're leading anything, you have to make decisions, and so not everybody is going to always agree with the decisions that you make, and so it was a growing process for me, becoming a leader in the church, and then ultimately becoming the senior pastor. But like I say, it's just been a as well as being having a few challenges around my own, you know, growth and leadership style and so on, working out how I was going to do things. But it's been an awesome journey, really.
Because, it is a journey, isn't
because
it?
You are working with people that you really get to know well, and you know, and when you've got a heart for a place and the people, it was sort of fairly natural, really, with good people around me.
And there's no I in team, is there? Teamwork's all about having to work together, and I think that develops our character and personality, because it's not always easy if you're not used to working in a team, and to put yourself in a team and to develop something like our faith journey is it's quite powerful.
It's been an exciting journey, and we've had some ups and downs, but I guess just to feel as though we're making a positive contribution into the life of the community is really, like for me, for example, I have got a real heart for this place rather than, I mean, some people sort of become like professional pastors or ministers or whatever, and, you know, they could. But for me, it wasn't just about the role, it was about the place and the people. And then the role came later. So, you know, it wasn't my dream growing up to become a pastor and to go anywhere. Because we're also, you know, we're living and working here. We've got a farm, as you mentioned. We've got business interests around town. And, you know, I guess that whole dynamic is really more about the place and the people rather than a career. It wasn't a career move for me. And I've always felt that I was perhaps in a role that someone else would grow into over time. But it became clear that actually this is what God wanted me to do. And so I've just sort of continued on with that.
And we're going to head into some sounds in a minute, but I'd just like to come alongside that a bit. That the speaking about the heart response for me, like I say, I've been in Surfside for about 25 years now, and I might speak into this a little bit when we come back from the tunes I'm going to play, because I want to show a little bit of that heart and what it meant to me at the beginning and what it did for me, and then we'll carry on in some of our conversations.
Keys, no need to hang on to what I no longer need. That old house is empty, it's a thing of the past. I don't need a rearview mirror, cause I ain't never looking back. No, I don't need a rearview mirror, cause I'm not ever looking back. I'm packing my bags, moving on to Hope Club. No stopping me now, cause I've already sung. He's taking front door. I can see it in my mind. Gonna walk it with my feet. Let them all read. You won't find me here no more. I'm packing my bags, moving on to Hope Club. No stopping me now, cause I've already sung. He's taking my life to a whole new zip code. Yeah.
to light, darkness to light.
Pray
I'm lifting my eyes to the hope of my life for the very first time.
Listening to Marie on Faith Matters 98.1 FM Raglan Community Radio. I've got Pastor Roger in the studio with me today, and we're just talking about what's it like to be a pastor in here in Raglan, Whangaroa, and he's been pastoring a long time now, and I know that when we're leading anything, we need to have a vision around what we're doing. And sometimes when we start out, that vision might not be so clear. But I think after all these years, Roger, that there is definitely a vision that you have for the church. I wonder if you could speak into that a little bit for us.
Yeah, well, thanks. Yeah, thanks for asking that. I guess growing up here in Whangaroa Raglan, I was a part of the church community here. And, I grew up going to the little Methodist church at Te Uku and into the Union Church here in Raglan, church at Stewart Street now. It's still going, which is awesome. And I also went to an Anglican church school. And so I grew up with a pretty strong grounding in Christianity. But I guess what I realized as I was growing older is that, through my teens and early 20s, that it wasn't relevant always for the ordinary person. So, I understand that, different people like different environments and different ways of expressing their faith and so on. And I think, that I just want to really honour all the churches who have been so faithful and strong for so long. I mean, the church at Stewart Street is going well. Pastor Nigel down there, and the St. Peter's Anglican, and the Catholic Church. These churches have been like rocks in our community for generations, and they've done an awesome job. I guess my vision for our church was actually to be a little bit different, in that we would be perhaps a wee bit more relevant to the people that don't fit into the traditional churches. And so rather than competing, our vision was to complete what was already happening here and to make God accessible for anyone and everyone, especially the people that perhaps didn't grow up with it, don't aren't used to the tradition or the form of church and so on, and the structure of it. So that was really my vision at the beginning, was to have a place where people could come in. There was a contemporary feel to it. It was welcoming. It was a place where anybody could come along and have a taste of God, and not feel weird about it, not feel pressured, not feel that they had to be something that they weren't. I guess that's been my overriding vision, not something that I necessarily express, at church much, but I feel as though, there's a lot of people in our community actually, well, everybody actually has a heart they're wanting to know what's real and what's not. And I guess we all have a sense inside us that there's more than just this life. And that there is something out there. We call that something God, And we want to get to know a little bit more about the spiritual and the reality of that and the power of that. So that's my mission, as it were, is actually to build a church community here in Raglan that is relevant for the everyday person to come along and experience. And it doesn't matter what their background is, what their culture is, what their nationality is, whether they're, you know, in business or unemployed or anything in between. You know, so that's been in my heart right from the beginning, that we should be relevant and available for everybody to experience God's love. And if you sort of think about, like, Jesus is really at the heart of everything that we believe. But if you think about his life on earth, I mean, Jesus actually related to everybody somehow. And he related to people that often the religious ones couldn't. And he loved those that were struggling, those that were downcast, the lepers, the sick, the outcasts, the prostitutes, anyone that was interested in spiritual things. Well, Jesus would relate to them and draw them in and draw them closer to the Heavenly Father who loved them. And so that's my heart, is actually that as a church we would be accessible for anyone that is really interested. And I don't believe in pushing anything on anybody or forcing anything. I think it's got to be something that people want. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to be putting a lot of barriers in front of people. Like, for example, in our church, you don't have to wear a suit and tie. You don't have to be Mr. and Mrs. Perfect. We just come as we are. Mm. And I think that's sort of really what I've been trying to do. So that a place where I could invite my friends along, my workmates, my farming buddies, the people that I might do life with, and that they would actually think, oh, this is actually quite cool. I quite enjoy this, rather than it being weird and so different that they feel out of place. So
yeah, I agree. Like for me, coming into the church, I certainly expected it to be definitely not a hostile environment, but I didn't know what to expect. I knew that I was searching and I wanted to re-engage with God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, but I didn't know how to do that, and I didn't know, if church was the right place for me to even do that. But I remember coming into Surfside, and we were a very little church then, actually quite a lot of older people in there, and for me, I was young then. I've aged a bit now. I was a lot younger. Very broken and very cut off and from people. I had isolated myself. So getting around some of these older ones was very beautiful for me. It was very safe. I remember a couple of the old ladies, one of them made me a cardigan in the church. It was this green cardigan. I don't think I ever wore it, but the fact that she knitted that for me and gave it to me had a big impact on me, just her heart response to me. And I felt that church was a safe place for me, and I remember it being the first place that I had actually been able to cry again. I had closed down my feelings for a very long time, many, many years, and church was the first place that, I was able to start feeling again, which was really, really difficult for me and quite embarrassing because, you know, when you've got a lot of trauma and you're letting that out, you want to be in a safe environment. And it certainly was for me, and I remember it was probably a good 6 months of crying on the church floor pretty much, and just receiving lots of love and lots of acceptance in my life and warmth that I hadn't felt before. So I can certainly speak into what it was like for me in those beginning years, finding a community of people that didn't reject me, and took me as I was at that time, which was pretty broken. So we're going to get into some more tunes, and we're going to come back and have some more conversations around church life, and what it's all about.
Yeah.
that was the Lord's Prayer by the Fuzzy Robes. And I've got Pastor Roger in the studio with me. We're talking about church life and our experiences and what that's been like. And he's been speaking a little bit into pastoring. And we were talking about the vision for the church and maybe for this community too, Roger.
Yeah. I think, you were talking about your experience, Marie, and about the cardigan that someone knitted you and so on. That's really awesome, isn't it? What people need to understand is that actually we're not all perfect people. Mm. Just because we go to church doesn't mean we don't have our ups and downs and struggles. And really, I think all of us have struggles, and all of us have, there's a... perhaps we've grown up with a broken relationship and family life, some of us, and also that affects our relationship with God and and others in the community as well. So I guess as a church group, we are a mixture of people, and I think that's what I really love about it.
Yeah,
all different ages and stages and. Different places on our life journey. And, I just want to put it out there that actually just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean that I'm Mr. Perfect either,
I think people can – I mean, we're human and you have a heart for what you're doing. And I think it is our heart responses that's where we see the change in our own lives and change in other people's lives because of the things we do. But it doesn't mean we come into it knowing everything.
No,
it's a journey.
Absolutely. And I think that's really what we're all on. We're all on a journey to wholeness.
Mm.
We're on a journey of, discovering who we are. And we do that as we discover who God is and how good he is. I think that's my vision is actually for people to understand that God is for us. He really wants the best for us.
And I can relate to.
And I think that's really important because sometimes we can grow up with this idea that we're not good enough, and in many ways we're not. Mm. None of us measure up to God. But he loves us. He wants the best for us. He wants us to become freer as we go through life, not more bound up. And he wants us to experience a good life. Good relationships and family life and even in work life and business. God doesn't want us poor and struggling and feeling worthless and feeling like our life doesn't count. He wants us to realize that we're valuable to him, and he wants us to begin to understand the way he's made us with giftings and abilities and talents, and how he wants us to use that to help others as well.
Mm.
And so that's kind of where I come from in terms of leading the church, is that, hey, we're not here to be, perfect. We're not here. We're just here actually to learn, to grow, and to become the people that God created us to be.
Amen. I like that. Becoming who God created us to be. It means that we're on a journey and we're moving. We're not standing still, saying, here we are, we've made it, and I know everything. We're continuously learning, and God is always showing and revealing things to us in a new, fresh way. I mean, we just have to look at nature itself.
Mm.
There's always beautiful freshness after the rain. There's been a frost in the morning and everything's crisp, and that's just part of God's creation. It's part of who he is. There's nothing stale in God. There's always new life. And as I've said on this show before, me and Denise have talked about places that we've come from and the different beliefs that I might have even had too, and Of course, my journey into Christianity has been through my own free will, as I've talked on here before. You know, in my beginning years, a lot of that, I didn't have the free will of what I my parents were into. But lucky enough, I had an auntie who was a Christian and prayed a lot for me. And yeah, so I think that really had an impact. As I got older, I was able to come back into Christian faith because I still had somebody in my family. There was still a connection there for me. But, you know, church life for me, I did have an expectation when I walked in of it being maybe not, you know, maybe old, fashioned and kind of old music and things like that. And yeah, it was totally the opposite. The music is, you know, we've got a live band. It's alive and active, and it's just engaging, and helps us to engage with God and Holy Spirit. So, and the people there, like Pastor Rogers has said, the mixture is again a very. It's almost a relief, I think, because then we know we're just doing normal things, normal life, but we have something that perhaps a lot of people don't have, and that is the understanding that, you know, we come from somewhere and we're going somewhere after all of this.
So you started talking a little bit about our style as a church, and I think, you know, I've sort of said our vision is really to be able to be relatable to people and for people to begin to understand that that there is a God who loves them. Mm. And but I think that has been our starting point, but that has determined what we do, you know, when we're together on Sunday and also what we do in terms of the community, you know, as well. But, you know, you mentioned, for example, the band, the live music that we have. Mm. And I'd always try to have our messages at church that are understandable rather than sort of deep, intelligent, you know, theological stuff. Because, you know, I'm a farmer and I grew up here. And like I said, I love this place, but I'm not. I haven't got a PhD in theology or anything like that. To me, it's about, but there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with study. I mean, we need to use our brains over the whole thing, but we don't have to be something that we're not. If you're not an academic, you still can have a relationship with God, and you can still read His Word, the Bible, and understand it and get stuff out of it. So that's really. My heart is that actually it relates to everyday life for everybody, that there be something in a service or a message that we have at church that others could listen to. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's helpful. That's a good thought. That's something I can do at home. That's something that I might relate to my work situation.
I agree with that.
So that's where your vision starts to. You put feet on your vision, and it's an outworking of what your heart is or your vision is. That's why we do the things that we do. I was thinking about it right now. You know, we have the food bank operating.
Yeah.
And that was something that you were involved with, Marie, right back at the beginning. But once again, we realise that, hey, there's people in this community with some needs.
Yeah.
And if we can help them, let's see what we can do around that. Mm. And then, you know, from there you went on and learned about counselling, where you can help to take people a bit deeper in their own personal life and their relationship with their family and with God and so on. But and also, I mean, another thing that's happening today, tonight,
yes,
we've got Ignite Youth. We've always had quite a strong emphasis as a church on the next generation coming through, you know, the children, the youth. So that's that's another area that's my heart really is that, you know, we need to not only have a faith and a blessed life and an exciting life with God, we need to actually pass that on, that passion on, to the next generation as well. And so youth work has always been something that's, you know, that it's sort of it's an outworking of that vision of being relatable to people, because young people, are looking for stuff. They're looking for meaning in life. They're looking for purpose. They're
at relationship.
At the stage of life where they're, you know, making some big decisions. Mm. And rather than just sort of launching them out and, you know, hoping for the best, we've sort of always worked hard to have something available for young people to come to that will give them some guideposts for life and some values and help them to be more successful. So there's been lots of different little things, and of course we've got the Mani Music, where we, you know, there's a lot of young mums in our community. It's a music and movement thing. So the all the different things that we do are an outworking of our vision of being relevant and relatable and bringing the goodness and the love of God to people just in a really, really practical way. I mean, there's no point saying to someone that you know, you love them and give them a pat on the back and off you go if they actually need some help.
Yeah, and we have prayer too.
Yeah, we have, and we can't do everything. Mm. But across this community, actually, there's a lot of people that are doing a lot. And we are only one. We're not trying to be everything to everybody. We're just doing our little bit. Mm. And there's so many volunteer groups, community groups, awesome things happening right through Whangaroa Raglan. That's what makes this. That's what gives this place some heart.
Yeah, it does, definitely.
It's the people that care, you know, about the environment, about each other, and about the future of this place and the way it develops. And so, you know, as a church, we feel as though we have a part in that. So that's what we're here for.
Yeah, and those services that we have on Sunday with the sermons. Yeah, they get videoed. I haven't actually said that on the radio before, that we film those every Sunday, and you're actually able to watch those online at your leisure. You can go on to YouTube under Surfside Church Raglan, and all our latest sermons are on there, and all our old sermons are on there. You can also go to... you can also go to surfside.co.nz, and if you look at our website there, you can find the sermon page, or you can just click straight into the sermon from there. So, if you haven't been to church and you want to check out to see what it looks like, you can try those avenues, or you might be brave enough to join us on Sunday. But before we head off on other conversations, I was the idea of family in church life, and that it does become a community. I think I've gotten to know so many people through our church environment over the years, that's been quite, it's heartwarming for me, because it means that I'm being interactive with others, and I'm growing in who I am as a person, because being an introvert and where I came from, wanting to kind of disappear from people, that has church life has certainly brought out something in me that... made me a better person for it. We're going to head into some. Oh, this is one of my favourites. Grace Got You.
Have you ever met those who keep humming when the song's through? It's like they're living life to a whole different tune. And have you ever met those that keep hoping when it's hopeless? It's like they figured out what the rest haven't yet. The second you realize what you have inside, it's only just a matter of time. Till you sing, so the back row is your glide. Cause walking just won't do dance. You don't have to know how to. Ever since grace got you left, till your whole side turned and smiled, like you just got away with something. Why? Cause you just got away with something. Ever since grace got you. So when you're standing in the rain again, you might as well be dancing.
Inside of you, spilling over cause your life is full. How incredible, undeniable, monumental like the Eiffel. Uncontrollable, let the joy flow through. Ha ha. Giddy over pity, pretty please. Let me see your hands in the air with you at your seats. Warm it up, let go, shout it out, celebrate. When you can't articulate, just say amazing grace.
The second you realize when you have inside, it's only just a matter of.
Listening to Marie on Faith Matters, and we're talking about church today. I've got Pastor Roger in the studio with me, which is really great to have you here, Roger, and just giving us some insight into church life, being a pastor, what it is to look after people, have a heart for community. I thought we'd talk a little bit into the messages that we have at church, because a lot of people wouldn't even know what the word messages mean, Roger. I mean, we use language quite easily in church life, and we understand what all that means. But so tell me a little bit about, you know, when we say messages.
Well, I guess traditionally, in a traditional church, you would think about the sermon, which is when, and normally, I guess, in a more traditional church, the minister tends to run the whole show. And I have got quite a bit of input, but because we're a team and we've got other people that can do a lot, I don't speak every week, for example. I'm usually involved in some way, but you know, we've got an awesome team of young people that can speak better than I can, that are learning, growing in their faith, and they can relate to the younger ones. And so, you know, we've got a mixture on our team of people that regularly speak, and visiting speakers as well. But, you know, I guess, if you're leading something, you've got to be involved. You've got to be there. You've got to be speaking into it. And so I do, you know, but probably would only speak about half the time, half to two-thirds at the most.
I think I'm looking at Roger, I'm thinking, I don't know, because, I mean, I've listened to you speak over the years many times, and the biblical knowledge that I've been able to receive through the talks that you've given have been awesome for me. God's Word has come alive. I love the foundations of God's Word, and I love the Bible, and being a teacher of the Bible is an important place for us these days, to know God's Word in its truth. So how do you find that? There's a lot of preparation, there's a lot of work that goes into doing this every week.
Yeah, well, it's a challenge. I guess when you're doing something regularly, I mean, if you're just doing something once, you can just share a little bit of your own experience, a bit of your own faith journey. And, you know, it's not so hard to do something occasionally. But if you're doing something fairly regularly, you can't do the same thing every week.
No.
You know, we need to actually be feeding people and encouraging people in their walk with God in their everyday life. Otherwise, we're not doing our job. It is a key part of what I do. And because I would run out of ideas and stories and things to talk about after a couple of weeks. But we have got the Bible. We have got God's Word, which is actually packed full of stories. It's packed full of truth. It's packed full of God, really. And that's really I see that as one of my main roles in the church, as well as leading the church, leading the team, and sort of having the, perhaps the vision and casting that vision for people and reminding them we're here for a purpose. We've got God in us. We've got a future to look forward to, and we're here to bless this community and to help people. So that's the sort of the overriding thing. But when you start to look in the Bible and you realize that actually the Bible is made up of 66 different books, it's written by lots of different people under the inspiration of God. And it really is like God's message to us. It's like his love letter to us. And right the way through, there's themes, there's teaching, there's principles that can be really, really helpful for everyday life. And so that's what I like to do. I like to take a section of the Bible, might be a book of the Bible. Like recently we've been looking at the book of Romans, for example, and where the Apostle Paul was speaking into the church in Rome and at a time at the peak of the Roman Empire. And it was a place that was, there was all sorts of stuff going on. And so when you start to learn about the history and what was going on at the time and the relevance of what the letter says to that situation, but also to us today. And it's just really quite exciting when you start to unpack and learn a little bit and so you sort of start to reveal the heart of God as you go through. And so that really is, I guess, my main responsibility is to not make up. We're not here to make up anything. We're not here to make up a new religion. We're not here to – all we're here to do is really to reveal the heart of God and his love for us and for everybody, and how he wants to help people to be set free and to grow and to flourish. Mm. So week after week, that's what I'm trying to do as I start to unpack the Word of God in church every week. And others pick it up as well, and others do their bit. And so it's like a marathon. We're a team. We're a relay, rather. It's like a relay. Mm. We sort of pass the baton one to another. And it's amazing, really, how bit by bit God brings things together. It's quite an exciting journey, actually. It's not. Well, there's totally nothing exciting. Boring about it.
I wouldn't be here if it was boring.
Some people think that religion or church and Christianity is boring, but I've actually found it to be totally the opposite.
It's been my greatest learning curve. It's been where life is. Yeah. Honestly, I don't think I'd have the life I have today if I hadn't walked into church 25 years or 23 years ago when I did, and stuck at the journey. And it hasn't always been easy, because it means sometimes we've got some sharp edges in us, and God certainly can speak into those places, and growth happens. You've been talking about pruning lately. That's been the word that you've been, the message we've been getting in the book of Romans is in, often when we prune something, we can prune something back quite harsh, and it looks like it's almost like being killed off. But so much new growth comes from the pruning.
Yeah, and we're in the winter season of winter, and there's not so much new life at the moment. But we're coming into spring. I mean, really, I guess we're already in spring almost, and this is the time when the new shoots come, the buds come, and the new life is starting to emerge. But I guess getting back to the whole thing on the book of Romans is what I do. I tend to learn as I go along. I didn't actually know a lot about the book of Romans before I started studying it. But what I've learnt by looking at it, reading about it, reading what other people have discovered and so on, I've realised that it's in two halves. The first half of the book is really about how we get a relationship with God in the first place, and you know how God sent His Son to show His love for us, and we don't have to be perfect. We can't earn it. It's just something that actually it's like a gift that we receive. Mm-hmm. That's what the first half of the book of Romans is really about. How do we get started on our faith journey? And because he was speaking into you know Paul, you know through God was speaking through this guy Paul into the. Into, through this letter into the church in Rome, he's wanting them to really understand their foundations of their belief and you know who they really were in God. And I guess we've learned as we've gone through there that actually on our faith journey we become like sons and daughters to God. Mm. We actually become part of His family. We find ourselves in a really privileged place. And it's not because we're good or we've done anything to deserve it. It's just simply by accepting what God's already done for us. And then that's the first half of the book of Romans. And then the second half is really how to live a productive, successful, fruitful life. And that's where the pruning was really the beginning of that second part, that sometimes God's got to cut the old dead stuff off, you know. Because sometimes we carry stuff from our past. We might have hurts and addictions, and we've been damaged through life. I think all of us have in some way. You know, we get knocked around, and God needs to take off the damaged bits off us, so that actually we can start to that new life can start to come out, flourish, and we can really start to be fruitful. So that's where we're heading in the second part. Of the book of Romans, which is you know how to live life, how to live a Christian life every day, and like I say, you know I don't have all the answers, but all the answers are there in God's Word, and I have to discover them and bring them out and try and explain them, so that we can all learn together. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and I think too, when we as a receiver of the message, you know, and we're sitting there and we're listening to God's Word. From the front, it has a different impact on all of us. You know, we're all going to hear it quite differently depending on what's going on in our life and how God's Word affects us in that moment and what it means for us. So sometimes it can feel like the pastor's speaking directly at you and he knows everything about you, but actually that's not the truth. No, the truth is that God's Word does that. You know, we hear it spoken and it can translate in us, and that's the working of the Holy Spirit in us that brings to the forefront what we need to know, what we might need to learn for this time that we're in. Mm. And so God's Word can mean different things. It can all sound the same from the front, but how it translates in us can look quite differently. Sometimes we can go, that was just for me. Many of us walk away like that.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I've got to be honest and say I probably learn the most of everybody, because I've got to dig in and actually discover something meaningful to bring each time I speak, you know, most weeks. Mm. And so, yeah, that's why it gets back to where I began today. It's just a real privilege, actually.
It is.
To take God's Word and to get, you know, really start to try to understand what God's speaking into our culture today, you know, and making it relevant for us. And then, you know, in that process, you know, really, even though sometimes it's a bit of work and a bit of study and it takes a bit of time, I find it helps me probably as much or more than anybody. So that, I think that's the principle of God, is that as we help other people, you know, we're blessed and we're helped ourselves.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win all round, really.
And God, that's God's Word, folks. We can read something that's over 3,000 years old, and here it is, relevant to us today.
Yeah,
and that's the beauty of God's Word.
I think the letter to Romans was probably a couple of thousand years old, but there's still a long, long time.
I always get these.
It's a long, long time.
Well before our time, I know.
I think just thinking back on my message from last week from Romans was about giftings and how we're all got giftings.
Yes.
And we're all born with giftings. God's so good, He gives us all giftings. And as we go through life, we've got to learn how to use those giftings and how to flourish in different ways in life. So that was last week's. And this week, actually, we've got a visiting speaker, haven't we?
We do have yes.
And we might even have him turn up soon. He's just arriving in Raglan this afternoon. We're hoping he might be here in time to tell us a little bit about what he's going to do.
That sounds really good. I'm gonna play Fill My Cup by Andrew Rip, and hopefully we might have him on soon.
To a city I cannot see, through the depths of the valley where the sun can't reach. I've been high, I've been low, I've been looking for the river that could fill my soul. Been walking to a city I cannot see.
Listening to Marie on Faith Matters, and Pastor Roger's been in the studio. We're talking about church and community, heart response, why we do the faith that we do, and I thought we'd talk into, where are we going now, Roger? We wanted to talk into some Father's Day coming up.
We were just talking about what's coming up over the next few weeks, and first weekend in September is Father's Day, and I guess as a church what we tend to do is we tend to make a bit of a big deal about the special times of the year, which is Father's Day, Mother's Day, Christmas, Easter, and even Anzac Day. We like to join in on the community side of that as well. So you know, I guess Father's Day is just one of those days in the calendar where we remember and honour our dads. And so that's coming up in a couple of weeks. We always do something a little bit special. I think we're having a bit of a breakfast.
You know we're having a breakfast.
Well, it's not a full breakfast.
We always have a good breakfast. It's just a men's breakfast. Come on.
It's not a full sit-down breakfast, but it'll be something. A cup of
bacon
coffee.
And eggs.
Yeah. Well,
come on. Sausages. Who's doing it?
Anyway, it's just
we have a great hospitality, don't we?
We do. We have a good team. We've got a good team that work hard.
They do. When I think about that, when I was thinking about the outreaches, you were talking about the things we do in community, but also what we do in church too. We have amazing food in church because those the great cooks that we have, you have no idea what sort of community people, we have.
We all need to eat, and people have got to use their giftings. If they've got a gift to eat. Cooking, well, why not use it?
So this is the good thing about church is that, you know, your giftings are used, but in ways that, like, everyone benefits. Like, we all benefit. And it's not, we're not doing it because we have to do it. It's like, oh, because everyone's doing it out of their giftings. It's what they love to do. And so it has a different heart response. And that's you know, what community of faith believers is like.
Yeah, on Father's Day, I think it's the Sunday, the 1st of September. We'll just have a real family-focused, Father Day's focus service with, as we mentioned, some food and coffees. And the kids will do a bit of stuff, and it'll just be a lot of fun.
Have we got a speaker yet?
Yeah, we're still working on that one.
Still working on that one? Yeah. Okay, surprise.
We'll have a surprise. But, yeah, no, it'll be good. It'll just be a good, pretty low-key, family fun sort of occasion.
Yeah. So. And this week, what have we got going on this week, Roger?
Yes, well, as I think I might have mentioned, we've got a visiting speaker coming this weekend. He's a friend of ours. He was actually a pastor at Waihi Beach for a long time. But he's just moved into a new area of Christian work with an organisation called Open Doors. And if he arrives in a moment or two, I think they're on their way to Raglan right now. He can speak about it himself. But I think what they do is they're looking after people right around the world in countries where there's not the religious freedom that we have.
We don't realise this, do we?
I think we don't. Sometimes we forget how blessed we are to actually be free to express whatever religious belief we might have. Whereas in some countries, that's just simply not there. And, you know, if you've got a dictator or a different kind of government to what we've got, there's not a democracy, people can be actually even killed for believing something a little bit different, which seems ridiculous to us because we're so used to expressing ourselves and believing what we want to believe, and we're free to do that. But in some places, they're not. So that's what we're having on Sunday. We've got a guy coming to speak about some of the challenging things that are happening around the world in terms of people living out their faith under incredible pressure and tension, and even at sometimes at the risk of their life.
Yeah, these are things we don't hear on the news, is it? Like the things that are really happening in our world when it comes to our freedoms. Having a faith, we're lucky in New Zealand. Oh my gosh, I don't think we realise how lucky we are.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't know if luck's the word I want to use. It's more the freedom that we have, the blessing that we have, that we are still able to express our faith freely. Mm. In some countries that is certainly not the case. People are put in jail, tortured, and their lives can be taken. And this Sunday at church, we've got a speaker coming in who's going to speak into that, some of those things that are happening out in the world that we have no idea, because we do have the freedom we have. So I'm going to head into another song, and hopefully our speaker will turn up that's going to be there on Sunday and give us a few insights before we head out of the show. But if not, I'm sure we've given you enough as is.
Keep telling better myself. One day I'm gonna have wealth. One day I'm gonna be somebody. Yeah, I'm gonna better myself. Music, these metaphors, these stories, man, I'm fitting myself. Confidence like corny ain't stay. Just wanna get rid of myself. Voices, 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 you know you'll never make it. Voices, 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 man, you ain't real, you're faking. I better go to a big pharma. They gon' grind me up some pixie dust. Give me a ticket, five a day to get that little pick me up.
Indeed it is. You're listening to Marie on Faith Matters, and we've got Ryan and Emma in the studio. They are from Open Doors. This is the couple that are going to be talking to us at church on Sunday. So Ryan, I'm going to hand it over to you. Tell us a little bit about Open Doors, who you are and what you're going to be talking about on Sunday.
Excellent. No, fantastic. No, it's great to be here in the beautiful town of Raglan. Just arrived and, really looking forward to sharing at Surfside on this Sunday. So, my name's Ryan. This is my wife, Emma. Say hi.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
So we actually live over on the other coast at Waihi Beach. That's our bit of paradise, our bit of beach paradise on the other coast. I work with Open Doors full time after previously pastoring a church. And Open Doors pretty much exists to support persecuted Christians. A lot of people are often surprised that actually when it comes to religious persecution, 80% globally of religious persecution is actually against Christians. Mm. I think most people on the street might say Muslims or some other religion, but it's actually Christians. So it's a real problem globally. And so that's why we exist, is to help support them and to help them rebuild their lives, from extremist attacks to authoritarian governments. In fact, 1 in 7 Christians right now globally suffers severe persecution on a daily basis. And that's a total of about 365 million believers who live daily under the threat of things such as abuse, torture, imprisonment, and even death for their faith. Places like Nigeria, there's an average of 5 Christians a day who lose their lives simply for being Christian, which is unbelievable when we live in a liberal democracy that kind of thing goes on. But it does, and is only heating up across the nations. And so that's why I'm really excited to be part of an organisation that is the solution. And so we've got field workers. Right. We're represented in over 70 countries around the world, just really doing the stuff and helping to support these believers who just really want to do good in their communities. So, really looking forward to sharing in Surfside Church this Sunday. And so I get to tell some amazing stories. It's pretty devastating what some of these believers go through globally, but it's also really inspiring how they respond. respond often in the persecution, really representing the church and Christ, really just incredibly loving their enemies when they really do have enemies over in these places. And so really getting to inspire the saints over here in Raglan with some of the stories of these Christians overseas. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Wow, thank you so much, Ryan and Emma. Look, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be listening to this. I'm really excited about this. We live in so much freedom here in Aotearoa to be able to express our faith. We're so lucky. We were talking about this just before with Pastor Roger. We're blessed. We get to have the freedoms that so many people that you're going to talk about on Sunday don't have. Yeah. So, if you want to join us on Sunday at 10 a.m. Raglan Area School, Surfside Church, we will start with worship, and then we're going to have Ryan and Emma tell us all about the persecuted church. And maybe we'll be able to walk away with some of the really understanding the freedoms that we have. We're going to learn a lot about what's going on out there in the world. So if you're wanting to join us, Ryan and Emma, Pastor Roger, me, and many more from our community, we'll see you at 10 a.m. Raglan Area School Sunday. I'm going to head out with Come to the Table. This is a good one.
We all start on the outside, the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in. And just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. And these thieves, there's no one unwelcome here. And that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door and let mercy draw you near. So soldier, to the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who failed, you've been forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chained and all the free, all who follow.
Come to the table. come to the table.